أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمداً عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahhud, Ta'awudh and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih, the faith may Allah be his helper, stated, prior to Ramadan, I was mentioning the expeditions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In this regard, I was discussing incidents related to the Battle of Uhud, which also included aspects of the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Today, I shall also speak about this. It is recorded in a narration that the mother of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh, may Allah be pleased with him, came to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. At that moment, the Holy Prophet was riding on a horse and Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh was holding its reins. Seeing her, Hazrat Sa'd said to the Holy Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, this is my mother. The Holy Prophet replied, welcome her. He stopped his horse for her until she came near and started looking at the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet expressed his condolence on the martyrdom of her son, Hazrat Amr bin Mu'adh. Upon this she said, having seen the Holy Prophet well and healthy, all my grief and sorrow have vanished. The Holy Prophet said to Umm Sa'd, O Umm Sa'd, glad tidings to you, and convey glad tidings to the families of every martyr, in that all those that have been killed are companions of one another in paradise, and that all of them have interceded for their families before Allah the Almighty. That is, all of the martyrs have also interceded for their families before Allah the Almighty. Hazrat Umm Sa'd replied, O Messenger of Allah, we are all content and happy with the will of Allah. And who can weep for their sake following this glad tiding? How magnificent is the standard of their faith and being content with the will of Allah the Almighty. Following this, she requested the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saying, O Messenger of Allah, pray for the bereaved families of every martyr. Subsequently, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prayed for the bereaved families of every martyr of Uhud in the following words. O Allah, remove the sorrow and pain from their hearts, remove the difficulties, and grant those bereaved by these martyrs excellent successes. Speaking on the devotion of the people of Medina, Hazrat Muslim Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, when the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, returned from the battlefield of Uhud, the women and children of Medina had left the town in order to welcome him. An old and brave Ansari companion, Ansar are the Muslims native to Medina, Sa'd bin Mu'adh, was holding the reins of the camel of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And he was advancing with pride. Close to the town, he met his elderly mother, whose eyesight had deteriorated. During the Battle of Uhud, one of her sons was killed as well. A cataract was forming in the eyes of this elderly lady, and her eyesight had deteriorated. Standing in front of the women, she started looking here and there and inquired where the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was. Sa'd bin Mu'adh thought that if his mother were to receive the news of her son being martyred, she would be in shock. This is why he wanted the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to give her courage and grant her solace. Therefore, right when he saw his mother, he said, "O Messenger of Allah, my mother is here. O Messenger of Allah, my mother is here." Meaning he said twice that his mother was coming. Upon stopping there, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "O woman, it is a matter of great sorrow that one of your sons has been martyred in this battle." The vision of the old woman was so weak, so she couldn't see the face of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. She started looking left and right, and eventually her eyes stopped at the face of the Holy Prophet. She came close to the Holy Prophet and began saying, "O Messenger of Allah, when I have seen you save, then just imagine that I have roasted this affliction and swallowed it." Now observe how this woman, whose support, i.e. her son, was broken in her old age, bravely said, "Why should my sorrow regarding my son eat away at me? If the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is alive, then I will roast this sorrow and swallow it. My son's death will not be the cause of my demise. Rather, this thought that the Holy Prophet is alive, and in the course of protecting the Holy Prophet, my son gave his life, would only increase my strength." While stating another incident in this manner, Hazrat Muslim Aud, may Allah be pleased with him, once asked Ahmadi women, "Does this same passion for your faith surge within you?" Then, after stating the aforementioned incident, he addressed the women while bringing their attention to the responsibility of tabligh and said, "These were the women who in the course of the propagation of Islam would walk in stride with men, and these are the women about whom the Islamic world takes great pride. It is also your pledge," meaning the women who accepted the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, "that you believed in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is the buruz, that is reflection, of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him." In other words, you are the reflection of the female companions. But truly tell me, does the same passion for your faith surge within you that surged within the female companions? Do you possess the same light that was found within the female companions? Is your progeny righteous, just as the progeny of the female companions were? If you reflect on this, you will find yourselves much farther behind than the female companions. He further states, the sacrifices they made whilst risking their lives were so beloved by Allah the Almighty that He very quickly granted them success, and that work which could not be completed in centuries by other nations, the male and female companions both finished it within some years. Thus, if we wish to see progress, we must create that faith and passion within us and instill that sincerity and sacrifice. Though some incidents like the one I just narrated have been mentioned before as well, they have been stated through different narrations. However, when one listens to these incidents over and over and in varying angles, it creates a wondrous spiritual state and a sense of zeal. We especially experience a holistic perspective, and Hazrat Muslim Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, states an incident, not just the incident alone without context. In the same manner, while mentioning the incidents of the female companions on one occasion, Hazrat Muslim Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, the battlefield of Uhud was 8 or 9 miles from Medina. When news of the martyrdom of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, reached Medina, the women exited the city whilst profusely crying and sobbing and ran towards the battlefield. Most women received the news of the Holy Prophet being alive while on the way, and so they stopped there. But one woman ran all the way to Uhud in a state of frenzy. This woman's husband, brother, and father were all killed in Uhud. And according to some narrations, one of her sons was killed as well. When she arrived at the Muslim army, she asked one of the companions as to the condition of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Because the companion who was giving the news was at peace knowing the Holy Prophet was alive, he said, "I am sorrowful, O woman, that your father has been killed in this battle." Upon hearing this, the woman said, "You are quite odd. I am asking about the Holy Prophet and you are giving me news that my father has died." Upon hearing this, the male companion said, "I am sorrowful, O woman, that your husband has also been killed in this battle." Upon hearing this, the woman responded, "I did not ask you about my husband. I have asked you about the condition of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him." Upon hearing this, the male companion once more said, "I am sorrowful, O woman, that your brother has also been killed in this battle." This woman passionately said, "I did not ask you about my brother. I asked you regarding the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Tell me about the health of the Holy Prophet." When the people saw that she was not worried about the death of her father, husband and brother, and she only wishes to ask about the condition of the Holy Prophet, then they understood her true emotions and said, "O woman, the Holy Prophet is alive and well." Upon this she said, "Tell me where he is," and then quickly ran towards the direction where the Holy Prophet was standing. When she arrived there, she fell to her knees, clutched the clothes of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and said, "O Messenger of Allah, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. If you are okay, then I do not care about who has passed away. I only need for you to be alive. If you are alive, then I am not worried about the demise of anyone else." Hazrat Muslim further states, "Look at how much this woman loved the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. One after the other, people informed her of the death of her father, brother and husband. But she kept giving the same response, that tell me about the condition of the Holy Prophet. Thus she too was a woman, but she demonstrated a profound love for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Regarding the Muslim women, during the first century of Islam, i.e. the companions, as the Muslim Mod states, then relating what followed after the Battle of Uhud, whilst describing the Prophet's character and the love his companions, both male and female, had for him. Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, has written in the introduction to the study of the Holy Quran, "When the Islamic army returned to Medina, the false rumor of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him's demise, and news of the blows sustained by the Muslims had already reached Medina. The women and children of Medina raced with great fervor and concern towards Uhud. Most of them learned the truth on the way there and stopped. But one woman who belonged to the Banu Dinar tribe ran fervently all the way to Uhud itself to find out if the news was true. When this woman was running frantically towards Uhud, her husband, brother and father were all killed in the battle. And according to some narrations, even her son saw the same fate. The first narration reveals, when she was informed of her father's demise, she responded only by asking about how the Messenger of Allah was doing. Because the person informing her was already at ease knowing that the Messenger of Allah was all right, he kept apprising her of the family members that she had lost. But she insisted on repeatedly asking, "What has the Holy Prophet done?" As the Muslim states, apparently this phrase appears nonsensical at first glance. To say it like this seems inexact. This is why historians have interpreted it to mean, "What did the Prophet do at Uhud?" As the Muslim explains, the truth is that, according to the linguistic expression of women, it's absolutely correct. A woman's emotions run high, and at times she speaks of one known to be dead as alive and present. Like when the sons or husbands of certain women die, they address them as though they are living, saying things like, "Why are you leaving me in this state?" or "Why have you abandoned me in my old age?" This is an extremely delicate phenomenon that the human condition exhibits in times of deep distress. And thus it was the case of this woman, upon hearing the false rumor that the Holy Prophet had died. She wasn't ready to accept his passing, nor could she deny that he could have passed away. So in a state of deepest grief, she just kept repeating, "What has the Holy Prophet done?" What she meant was, how is it conceivable that such a loyal personage had suddenly betrayed us by dying, when people observed that she cared not for her husband, father, or brother's passing, and realized the real intent behind her questions, they reassured her, O mother of so-and-so, the Prophet is as you wish to see him. He is fine by Allah's grace. She asked the people, show me where he is. They told her to proceed a little further and that she would see him standing just up ahead. The woman ran up to him and held him by his mantle, saying, O Messenger of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. When you are alive and well, I care not for anyone else's death. As a Muslim odd states, observe, the men demonstrated a tremendous example of faith in battle, and the women showed their sincerity in the way I've just illustrated before you. The Christian world takes great pride in the heroism of Mary Magdalene and her female companions circumventing the enemy to enter the sepulchre of Jesus Christ. I say to them, come and see the selfless devotion of my beloved devotees. Look at the precarious conditions in which they supported him and through it all kept aloft the flag of God's unity. After burying the martyrs, when the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, returned to Medina, he was met on the town's outskirts by women and children welcoming him back home. Sa'd bin Mu'adh, a chief in Medina, was holding the reins of the Prophet's camel. I've mentioned this incident before as well, and kept running up ahead with pride, perhaps announcing to the people that, look, we have successfully brought the Messenger of Allah back home. This is one style of expression. While entering the town, Hazrat Sa'd was met by his aged mother, whose eyesight had grown weak. Her other son, Amr bin Mu'adh, had also been martyred at Uhud, as I've mentioned in detail before as well. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, saw her, he said, I feel great sympathy for the loss of your son when you see him. The pious woman responded, O Messenger of Allah, now that I've seen you alive and well, consider that I have cooked and eaten away all my other sorrows. What a strange idiomatic expression, to cook and eat away all of one's sorrows. What a deeply profound caliber of love it conveys. Normally grief consumes a person, but this woman, who in her advanced age lost her means of support and livelihood in her son, declared with such vivacious courage that let alone grief consuming her, when the Messenger of Allah is alive, I will instead consume my grief. My son's untimely death will not be a means of my own demise. Rather, the knowledge that he gave up his life for the Prophet of Allah will rejuvenate me. This is true passion. As a Muslim old, may Allah be pleased with him, praying for the helpers of Medina, the Ansar, and expressing his own sentiments about them, declared, O helpers of Medina, may my life be sacrificed for you all. What a truly great reward you have earned. What was the example of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, upon the conduct of the hypocrites and Jews of Medina and Hazrat Umar's display of passion in response to them? It is recorded that when the Holy Prophet reached Medina after the Battle of Uhud, the hypocrites and Jews of Medina began to celebrate and speak ill of the Muslims. They would say, Muhammad desires to rule, God forbid. And to this day, no prophet has suffered as much loss as he has. He himself was injured, and so were his companions. They would also say, if those among you who lost their lives had remained with us, they would never have been killed. As Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, sought permission from the Holy Prophet to slay the hypocrites who were saying these things, i.e. those hypocrites. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, do they not bear witness that there is no God besides Allah? Do they not recite La ilaha illallah? And that I am the Messenger of Allah and say Muhammad Rasulullah? They recite the Islamic creed. He then asked, do they not recite the Islamic creed? Hazrat Umar replied, yes, they do. They may proclaim it, but at the same time they speak in a hypocritical manner. Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, added, they only do so out of fear of the sword, i.e. they only recite the creed and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Their matter is clear, and now that they have displayed what is in their hearts, and Allah has manifested the malice they harbor. We must take revenge against them. They must be punished. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, I have been forbidden to kill those who bear witness. He was forbidden from slaying those who recite that there is no God besides Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. I have been prohibited from killing one who recites his Islamic creed. This is sufficient to silence those self-proclaimed clerics who say that Ahmadis are disbelievers and their killing is permissible, despite the fact that Ahmadis recite the Islamic creed from their hearts and harbour not even a cent of hypocrisy. In fact, there have been some martyrdoms in this way. These are the very clerics, or self-proclaimed clerics, who have put the name of Islam in disrepute. There are several narrations regarding the funerals of the martyrs of Uhud. I have presented them previously, but now I would like to mention a narration of Sahih al-Bukhari, from which one can understand the rank and station of the companions who partook in the Battle of Uhud, and the prayer of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for them. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, offered the funeral prayers of the martyrs of Uhud 8 years later, as if bidding farewell to the living and the dead. Then he ascended to the pulpit and said, I am your predecessor before you, and I am a witness for you, and your promised place to meet me will be Al-Hawd, that is the tank, on the day of resurrection, and I am now looking at it from this place of mine. I am not afraid that you will worship others besides Allah, but I am afraid that the worldly life will tempt you and cause you to compete with each other for it. Incidents that unfolded later prove that this fear of the Holy Prophet was warranted. Hazrat Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, when your brothers were martyred at Uhud, Allah placed their souls in green birds, which go down to the rivers of paradise, eat its fruits, and nestle in lamps of gold in the shade of the throne. Then, when they tasted of their favorite food and drink, and rested as they pleased, they asked who would tell their brethren about them, that they were alive in paradise and given provisions, lest they become reluctant to perform jihad or take up arms in war. Allah Almighty has said that He would inform them about them. Then Allah revealed, think not of those who have been slain in the cause of Allah as dead. Some authors of commentaries on the Holy Quran or narrators of Hadith often assert that this does not necessarily have to be the reason this verse was revealed. Even before this revelation, every martyr and the martyrs of Badr were given a lofty rank. In fact, this verse is also found in Surah Al-Baqarah. Then there is another narration from Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah, who says, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used to say, by God, when I think of the martyrs of Uhud, I wish that I had stayed with my companions in that mountain valley. In other words, he would say, alas, if only I was martyred along with them. Abdullah bin Abi Farwa narrates on the account of his father. When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, visited the graves of the martyrs of Uhud, he said, O Allah, indeed I, your servant and messenger, testify that these people are martyrs, and they will reply to those who visit them and send peace upon them until the Day of Judgment. Regarding the martyrs of Uhud, The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said, "These are the people for whom I testify." Upon this, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, submitted, "O Prophet of Allah, are we not their brothers? We accepted Islam just as they did, and we performed jihad just as they did." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, "Indeed. However, I do not know what you will do after I am gone." Hazrat Abu Bakr started weeping and said, "Will we be able to live after you?" Hazrat Abu Bakr began to weep in sorrow from the thought that he may live longer than the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Abbad bin Salih narrates, the Holy Prophet would go to visit the graves of the martyrs of Uhud at the beginning of each year. There he would say, "Peace be upon you for the patience you displayed. How delightful is your final abode." The narrator states that afterwards Hazrat Abu Bakr and then Hazrat Umar and then Hazrat Uthman also went to visit their graves. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed writes, close to the era of his demise, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, especially offered a funeral prayer for the martyrs of Uhud and prayed for them with great anguish. The Holy Prophet would remember the martyrs of Uhud with special love and respect. On one occasion, when the Holy Prophet passed by the graves of the martyrs of Uhud, he said, "These are such people whose faith I am a witness to." As Abu Bakr submitted, "O Messenger of Allah, are we not their brothers? Have we not also accepted Islam as they did? Have we not also partaken in jihad for the sake of Allah as they did?" The Holy Prophet said, "Indeed, but how do I know what you shall do after my demise?" Upon this, Hazrat Abu Bakr began to weep and continued to weep profusely. Then he said, "O Messenger of Allah, shall we be able to live after your demise?" Such a thought was akin to death. Then he further writes, the companions also held the martyrs of Uhud in high esteem and always kept the memory of Uhud alive in their hearts as a sacred event. As such, on one occasion, after the demise of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf was presented with some food to break his fast, which was perhaps somewhat elaborately prepared. At this, he was reminded of the time of Uhud, when the Muslims did not even possess enough cloth to shroud their martyrs, and they would cut grass to cover their bodies. Abdul Rahman bin Auf was so greatly disturbed by this memory that he began to weep restlessly and left without eating, although he was fasting. Then there are incidents of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, consoling the families of the martyrs of Uhud, and the mention of how he expressed love to the children of the martyrs. As a bishop's father, Hazrat Akraba, has been mentioned amongst the martyrs of Uhud. Some have also recorded Hazrat Bishr's name as Bashir. When Akraba was martyred, his son Bishr was sitting beside him crying. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, passed by and said, "Be quiet. Does it not please you that I become your father and Aisha becomes your mother?" Bishr replied, "Why not? Of course it pleases me." His previous name was Bahir, and the Holy Prophet named him Bashir. He had a lisp. However, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, prayed and blew on his mouth, as a result of which his lisp was cured. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, also passed his blessed hand over his head. When he became advanced in age, all the hair on his head became white, but the hair at the place where the Holy Prophet had passed his hand over remained black. He lived a long life and passed away in Palestine in 85 after Hijri. There is an incident of the Holy Prophet consoling Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah relates, "Once the Holy Prophet saw me and stated, 'O Jabir, what is the matter? For you seem very sad.' I submitted, 'O Messenger of Allah, my father was martyred during the Battle of Uhud, and he has left behind his progeny and a debt.' The Holy Prophet replied, Shall I not give you glad tidings regarding the manner in which your father met Allah? I submitted, yes, O Messenger of Allah. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated, Allah the Almighty conversed with everyone behind a veil. However, he brought your father back to life and spoke to him directly and said, O my servant, ask of me whatever you will, and I shall grant it to you. He submitted, O my Lord, grant me life on earth once again, so that I again be martyred in your way. According to another narration, it states that on this occasion, Hazrat Abdullah submitted, O my Lord, I was unable to fulfill the dues of your worship. Thus, grant me life once again, so that I may stand next to your Prophet and fight in your way, and embrace martyrdom once again for your sake. Upon this, Allah the Almighty stated, I have decreed that once someone dies, they shall never return to the earth. Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr requested, O my Lord, convey this to my loved ones in the world. Subsequently, Allah the Almighty revealed the following verse. Think not of those who have been slain in the cause of Allah as dead. Nay, they are living in the presence of the Lord and are granted gifts from Him. In any case, as I mentioned before, it is not certain whether this was the exact reason for the revelation of this verse. But what is true is that the martyrs are living and they attain the loftiest stations in heaven after dying. In fact, immediately after passing away, they attain the loftiest ranks in heaven. This incident of Allah the Almighty speaking with Hazrat Abdullah bin Amr was also detailed by the fourth caliph, may Allah have mercy on him, in a speech with reference to the life of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It demonstrates the companion's connection and love for the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the manner in which Allah the Almighty lovingly looked down upon them. Whilst mentioning this, he states, this incident is filled with countless aspects of beauty. From whichever perspective one looks at it, it manifests its grace and splendor. Among many other things, we learn how the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remained in constant communication with his Lord. On the one hand, he was filled with benevolence towards his people, and at the same time, his heart remained attached with his Lord. One aspect of his being was devoted to his companions, and the other was always firmly attached and bonded to his beloved, the Most High. Whether it be a time of peace and security, or in the midst of battle, he continued to scale the loftiest heights of the spiritual station. One eye would be overseeing the battlefield, whilst the other would be engaged in witnessing the wondrous signs of his Lord. One ear would be compassionately listening to his companions, whilst the other would be engaged in listening to the delightful sound of divine revelation. His hands were working whilst his heart remained occupied in the remembrance of God. The Holy Prophet would be consoling and reassuring his companions, whilst God Almighty himself would be granting him comfort and solace. By revealing the heartfelt desire of Abdullah bin Amr, Allah the Almighty was informing the Holy Prophet, O one who loves me more than anyone else, I have filled the hearts of my righteous servants with so much love for you that even after passing away from the transient world, they continue to have a heartfelt longing for you. I.e., it was there in the afterlife that he asked to go back so he could fight alongside the Holy Prophet. And to have left you alone in the battlefield pains their heart. They do not even desire the gardens of paradise when it comes to you, because for them, their paradise is to be at your side. And even if they are repeatedly killed by swords, their only desire is to be with you again and again and again. The rest I will, God willing, continue in the future. Continue to pray for Palestine and the world in general, as the situation is increasingly worsening. There is the risk of an attack on Iran, which will cause the war to further spread. May Allah the Almighty bestow His mercy. Also, news was received that the majority of the Ahmadis imprisoned in Yemen had been freed yesterday. Pray for the remaining few prisoners. May Allah the Almighty bring a change in the hearts of those people who are in authority over them. And especially pray for the Sadr Lajna, who is also in prison. May Allah the Almighty grant the means for her swift release. After the prayers, I shall lead two funeral prayers in absentia. And will also mention some details about them. The first funeral is of respected Mustafa Ahmad Khan Sahib, who was the son of Hazrat Nawab Abdullah Khan Sahib and Hazrat Nawab Amtul Hafiz Begum Sahiba, who recently passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. The deceased was the youngest grandchild of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and was the youngest son of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's youngest daughter, Amatul Hafiz Begum Sahiba. He was the youngest grandson of the promised Messiah. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, he was a Musi. In 1966, he started his employment as the general manager at Sui Northern Gas Company. Even after his retirement, he once again became the director of the company. When the situation against Ahmadis in Pakistan worsened, the company completely sidelined him and would not give him any good level of work. He discussed this matter with Hazrat Khalifatul Masih III, may Allah have mercy on him, and he advised him that the circumstances would eventually improve and he should not worry and continue working there. Following this, the circumstances improved and Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace upon him. He looked after the poor a lot and fulfilled his relations with his family members. He was married twice. His first wife passed away, and then he later married his wife's younger sister, who already had children from a previous marriage. He looked after her children as his own. This second marriage was upon the advice of his sisters, and he fulfilled this marital bond in an excellent manner. As I mentioned earlier, his second wife was the younger sister of his first wife. She was divorced and had two daughters from her previous marriage. For a long time, she raised her daughters on her own, but then later married again. She writes, he treated even the non-Muslims with great kindness. There was a Hindu child in Sindh for whom he bore all the costs for his education and helped him attain an education to a level that he later became an assistant commissioner, and he would always say, I have attained this rank because of Mustafa Khan Sahib. Nonetheless, this was purely due to the blessings of Allah. He took great care of the poor. He also established a trust in the name of his parents in his Nasirabad farm, which he received as part of his father's inheritance. He built a clinic near the land where free medical clinic camps would be organized, and Dr. Abdul Manan Shaheed Sahib would also serve in these medical camps. He never asked any outsider to help run this clinic and would cover all the costs through his own means. He was also very hospitable. His father, Nawab Abdullah Khan Sahib, was also very hospitable, and this quality was instilled in him through his father. He also had a very loving relationship with his children. He fulfilled all his relations in an excellent manner. His second wife has written this. He treated and cared for her daughters just like his own. If he ever had to be strict in order to make them understand something, then he would do so in a way that they would learn from it. Dr. Khalid Taslim Sahib, his nephew, says that he was an extremely helpful person. He held a very high office in the department of Sui Gas. If ever anyone needed any help, he would never refuse them, and he would particularly look after the poor. Mirza Hanif Ahmed Sahib once stated that if you send a poor person to him for any task, he would most certainly do it. He also helped to install gas in the homes of many of the poor families in Rabwah. 35 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer and he underwent a major surgery. It greatly affected his day-to-day life. But despite this, he always remained cheerful. It never impeded him in his hospitality and helping others. He had a vast circle of friends. Even opponents of the community had great reverence and respect for him and would meet with him because he would confer a favor upon them. He would never take a favor from someone, but instead always tried to do good to others. If someone did confer a favor upon him, he would always remain grateful for that. I have seen these qualities in him myself. He would look after the poor. He was an excellent son who cared for his mother the most. Despite being the youngest from among his siblings, he demonstrated his level of maturity. His mother, Nawab Amatul Hafiz Begum Sahiba, had entrusted him with looking after all the land that was inherited, and he fulfilled this responsibility in a most excellent manner. He improved the farm manifold. For this reason, his brothers and sisters trusted him greatly. Aside from this, he would look after the poor workers. Nonetheless, he was an excellent husband, an excellent son, an excellent father, and an excellent brother. May Allah the Almighty bestow His forgiveness and mercy on him. The second funeral prayer I will lead in absentia is of Dr. Mir Ahmed Daud Sahib, who lived in the USA and passed away recently. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong, and to Him shall we return. He was a son of Dr. Mir Mushtaq Ahmed Sahib and Bilqis Begum Sahiba. He was married to respected Amatul Basir Sahiba, who was the daughter of Mia Abdul Rahim Ahmed Sahib and Sahib Zadi Amatul Rashid Begum Sahiba. Sahib Zadi Amatul Rashid Begum Sahiba was the daughter of Hazrat Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, and the granddaughter of the Prophet Society upon him. And she, that is Amatul Basir Sahiba, is the great-granddaughter. Sahib Zadi Amatul Rashid Begum Sahiba was the paternal granddaughter of Hazrat Maulvi Hakim Nuruddin, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him. Dr. Daud Sahib graduated from the University of Engineering and Technology, Lahore, after which he went to the USA to do his PhD. He then went on to work for the World Bank for 35 years as a senior development professional and as a highly skilled practitioner. He worked in many countries, particularly across Asia, working on international development projects and schemes. He was one of the early members of the USA Jamaat. In the 70s, he worked in the team of Langar Khana food preparation despite being such a high-ranking official. He served for many years as the National Secretary Jaidad USA. He always worked with passion and religious zeal. He worked tirelessly in the construction of Baitur Rahman Mosque and its expansion. Even though he was a high-ranking official, he served the community with great humility. He spent time in China, and the missionary who served there at the time stated that when the deceased was studying there, despite the circumstances being unfavorable, he strived to spread the message of Islam in China. He was extremely modest and would meet everyone with great humility and joyfully. He would be ever ready to offer financial sacrifices, and hospitality was one of his salient qualities. He would show kindness to everyone he knew and to those he did not, without distinction. May Allah the Almighty bestow His forgiveness and mercy upon the deceased.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.